Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everyone out there is having a great start to their Easter weekend. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. And it is a very special show.
Oh, yeah.
It has been almost to the day, 1 year, since our first show, Four's Company, on Saturday mornings.
1 year, man. That's
crazy.
That's pretty special.
I honestly didn't even know until somebody mentioned it.
Yeah.
It was you? What was that last week?
Yeah, because it was the week before the draft was our first show. During Preds playoffs, too, at that point.
I think tomorrow is the official.
Right. It was the 20th.
But today is a celebration of that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's an honor to be here with both of you.
It is.
It's an honor. It was an honor to have Nick Keyser. I mean, he was on. He started this show with us. We miss him a lot. He's since gone on to bigger and better things. But I mean, he's one of the main reasons this whole thing started.
Right.
It was us four. We've all come. I actually went back and listened to the first show this week, and man, we sounded so young and immature. And
yeah, it's crazy what
now we're just immature.
Doing almost 50 shows, how much better you can get at it. So hopefully we've gotten better at it over the last year. It's been a fun year. And if you did listen to that first show all the way back in April of 2024, we did a special Titans draft simulation. And guess what? We're going to do that again.
Oh, yes.
Segment. We're going to...
It's like Christmas morning.
We're going to put...
And we have pancakes here.
We do. Yeah, Nick Frazier made us breakfast. We're going to put the rest of the show in the chairs of the Titans war room. And they're going to have to make a decision of what the Titans are going to do this upcoming weekend in Green Bay when they go on the clock. So that's coming up. Also, special Newt's Notes with WrestleMania tomorrow. Connor Newt sat down with Brad Gilmore, who, if you were listening to the station before us, he was on the Hall of Fame. So a special preview of WrestleMania there. So excited for that. And we'll also go through more of the draft later on in the show, talking about we are 5 days from Cam Ward being the number one overall pick, and also some other things that we could see on Thursday and Friday before we're back on the air next Saturday. But first, let's get into our headlines here. Nick Frazier, why don't you lead us off this morning?
Let's see. What is on my noggin? I watched the Melbourne Storm going to my NRL Minute of the Day. Melbourne Storm lost this
past week.
We got to
get imaging for this.
Oh, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I was super pumped that the Broncos played the Warriors this morning. They lost at Golden Point. We'll get into that here in a second.
Golden Point Warriors?
Yeah, hear me out, all right? The Melbourne Storm lost 40-16, okay? And so with losing 40-16, they scored 16 points in the first half. I believe it's the Sydney Dolphins or the expansion team. They end up scoring 40 unanswered points in the second half. Incredible run. The Storm are the heavy favorites to win the league. But it's like MLS, where if you're the top eight, you make the playoffs. And so right now, my Brisbane Broncos, I think, are in third or fourth, right behind the Canterbury Bulldogs, along with now it's the New Zealand Warriors, I believe is what it is. They call them
the Waz. They're two Warriors?
They're two Warriors teams?
Yes, there are.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. The New Zealand Warriors. What other Warriors did I say?
You said the Golden Point Warriors.
Oh, I'm sorry. They won in Golden Point. The Warriors won in Golden
Point. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
What's Golden Point?
It's like sudden death. So basically the first team to score.
I thought it was a place.
I thought it was a place, too.
I thought it was like an arena.
Golden Point, Australia.
Sorry, my words all string together here. But, you know, they won in Golden Point this morning at 2:45. And was really upset about it because this is a game they needed to win, and now they're playing the Bulldogs this Thursday at primetime footy. So, yeah, yikes.
Footy. Yeah.
And you guys, Manly Seagulls, lost too.
But they lost. It's hard to continue to be a fan of this team, the Manly Seagulls.
Sell the team.
I mean, Dally Cherry Evans is going to be leaving after the season, so that's... Yeah.
Hate to hear that.
That's hard. Maybe we should do a draft simulation for the Manly
Seagulls
instead.
I have never watched a moment. I need to. You need to tell me when they're going to be on, and I'll find a time to watch
4:35 FS1.
A.M.?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Set your DVR, pal.
Never mind. Connor Newt, what's your headline this morning?
My headline is, I'll do a simple experience I had this week.
Okay.
I've done maybe 60 games of the Preds this year, so I haven't been able to go to a single game, except for the one period you and I went to, Frazier.
Tim McGraw bobblehead night.
Yes, it was. So I was presented with the opportunity to go to the Lexus Lounge, which I didn't know where it was. It took me 30 minutes to find it. It's a secret bat cave under the arena. First off, it was incredible just being right by the player tunnel, and those guys are massive in person. I didn't realize it. And like, there's like 8 different buffets, and it's pretty good. But the moral of this story is I now possess a relic that no one else in the world can say they have. I was given a puck for free from the pro shop. I don't know why they gave it to me for free. Maybe they knew who I was, but I put it on the desk of Max Herz during the post game, and fortunately, Pete Weber was there. So I said, you three, Max, Jay, Pete, sign it. So I now possess a puck signed by the three legends, and on the back it reads, as Max Herz lovingly calls me, to Conhead, which is, wow. I think, is a Succession reference. I've never seen Succession, but
it's on HBO. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So no one in this world can say they have a puck signed by those three. That is
very true.
I thought you brought it with you. I was like, whoa.
Oh, I should have.
Yeah. You wait 50 years. That'll go for like $10, $12.
Well, I mean, the Preds fan in me, I was like, I got to get this before Pete.
No, that is a really good call. And you know, who knows where Max is going
to
end up.
The best part was Pete handed it to me and said, here you go, note. And I was like, thank you. I was like, this is an honor.
I was down the line. I did hear you talking to Max and them on Wednesday night. Very cool. My headline, how about those Masters? Yeah. Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I ended up watching on Sunday.
I mean, how could you not watch? That was...
I didn't enjoy it.
That was
I watched
elite
it.
Television, what we saw on Sunday.
Yeah. If you say so.
Rory had it in the bag, hits it in the water after laying up on 13, goes down a stroke, then he hits like three unbelievable shots, one on 15, one on 17, and still bogeys 18 to send it to a playoff. And I don't know how he had the mental fortitude after blowing it multiple times throughout the round to go and hit three ridiculous shots and birdie in the playoff hole to win it.
I think they said he's the first golfer in Masters history to have, what, three double bogeys? Four double bogeys in the final round and win.
No, over the weekend.
Oh, just over the weekend.
Yeah, he only had two double bogeys on Sunday. He double bogeyed one and he double bogeyed 13.
I'm glad he made up his mind on 18 in the playoffs. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to win this.
Right. Very happy for Rory. It's been so long since he's won a major, and you know he choked almost 15 years ago in the Masters. But man, he made that about as hard as he possibly could. But it made for great television. One of the best Masters that I've seen, probably my favorite Masters that I've watched, outside of Tiger in 2019.
I was a little upset at Scottie Scheffler watching him because you know he's the world number one.
Yeah,
he had his chances to actually get into that top two, top three argument, and. He just there were some shots that he had out of the bunker he just couldn't really hone in on near the pin, so unfortunate.
Right. And Rory left the door open for everybody. Props to Justin Rose. Yeah. You know, he played really well. Second straight major for him where he's come in second, but really handled it with class when he lost. Like, gave Rory a hug and talked about how big it is for the sport to win the career Grand Slam. So I thought that was awesome. The Masters killed it on Sunday, and congratulations to Rory McIlroy completing the career Grand Slam. Jake Wallman, wrap us up on headlines, and you also have our question of the day.
I do. So that's in my back pocket that I'll get to in a moment. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
My sub-headline is Frazier's Pancakes. I hope you guys get to try them at some point. They're really good. My headline is, and this is all I'm going to say, this is the last thing we'll talk about when it comes to Nico Yamaliava on this station, at least for me.
I don't know about on this station, but...
for me, at least, because I'm ready to move on. Urban Meyer had some interesting comments about the whole Nico and Tennessee situation. You know, he's such a pillar of character and all that stuff. He said, Tennessee is screwed. They got a problem. Everybody's saying, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I've got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine that game's going the other way and Coach Heupel grabs the microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium and says, it's okay, I made a stand way back when?
What?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, why would Josh Heupel do that in the middle of a game? That sounds,
in the swamp, by the way.
That sounds interesting. And second, I'm glad Josh Heupel isn't taking advice from Urban Meyer on how to run a college football team.
Don't go to any bars with Urban Meyer either.
I mean, just just way out of left field on his part.
Yeah, I get what people are saying, that are Tennessee fans going to give Josh Heupel a mulligan basically on this year because of the Nico situation? Like, that's the point that he's trying to get across, is that if things go south and Tennessee goes 6-6 this year, are Tennessee fans going to remember that Josh Heupel took a stand and told Nico to get lost? That's the question. I guess we'll find out in October and November if they're not playing very well.
You had to stop yourself from saying something out there, didn't you?
I didn't. There were no FCC violations about to happen.
I'll say this, because Paul Feinbaum was on with the Chase McJoe show earlier this week, and he mentioned that same thing. And he was like, you know what? Like, if it does come to that, Tennessee fans will give Josh Heupel the hall pass this year.
You hope so.
But for me, and I mentioned it when Connor and I were on last Saturday, I was like, I feel like I know this Vols fan base for the most part, like watching and hearing and listening to the vibe of everything. If this team goes 6-6 or 5-7, or even, I'm not saying 4 wins, but if it does get to that, anything on the line of 6-6, anything below that, I mean, this team is going to forget about, Nico's gone. Oh, Merklinger didn't complete the job. That's where panic mode starts to set in. It really will.
For my sake, I hope it's Merklinger, because I've already planned to head down to the Kroger Field and make my debut there.
Oh, so okay.
I can't wait to watch a 10-7 game between Zach Calzada and Jake Merklinger.
But you just know if Merklinger goes off for 4 touchdowns and they beat Syracuse in week one, Tennessee fans are like, playoffs back on.
That's what I'm
saying. We're going to the playoff.
We're going to playoff.
And but then if they go 6-6, then it's Heupel.
But so, they're going to buy into that initial reaction. 4 touchdowns. This is great.
Right.
And they're going to forget about everything with Nico, and they're going to be like you said, playoffs in the future, right now, this season. And they're going to all get let down because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Sorry, Jake Wolf.
It's going to be a very interesting fall on Rocky Top.
Always taking shots.
Jake Wallman, what is our question of the day?
All right, gentlemen. So I've been going back and forth on which way I should go, and I've decided to go with, what's your biggest pet peeve in sports?
In sports, okay.
What is something that, you know, you may be watching a football game, listening to a radio broadcast.
I got to whoop out the handbook.
Maybe at a game, and something happens, and you're just like, man, that really just grinds my gears.
If you want to read about my pet peeves, you can go on Amazon. It's the Newt Sports Book of Fan, Handbook of Sports Fandom.
Yeah, there you
Newt's
go.
Handbook of Sports Fandom.
It's on Amazon. You can get it for a...
Paperback?
Hardback.
Oh,
only wow. the best for my supporters.
He had a good deal the other week. It was like $7.99 for the hardback, which is uncommon. It was below $10.
Yeah, Big Joe and I are going to collaborate on our next project. We're going to write a book.
I can't wait to read that New York
that
Times
drops.
Bestseller.
Yeah. I'll let you know. Yeah, we'll be signing books at Books a Million here shortly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, our question today, what is your biggest sports pet peeve? We'll get to that coming up at 10 o'clock. But coming up next, it is time for our second annual NFL draft simulation. And for those of you out there who think this is going to be what we've seen from Jared or Chase and Big Joe over the last couple weeks, where they're just going through the ESPN one.
Way more in-depth, buddy.
No, this is more in-depth. I'm going to put the rest of the show into the Titans War Room. We're going to be getting some calls from some friends around the league, and we'll see what the Titans end up with next weekend in Green Bay. That's coming up next here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame begins at 4:50. First pitch is at 5:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Four's Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. And it is time, the second annual Titans Draft Simulation. We are fast forwarding in time.
To a week.
It is now Thursday night. Titans War Room. And sitting around me, we now have, to my right, not Nick Frazier, but the czar of football, Chad Brinker.
Oh, man.
Chad Brinker. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Across the table, Titans general manager, Mike Morganzi, sits where Connor Newt used to sit.
Do I have to speak in an Italian accent and play Godfather
music? Yeah,
you got to
speak like you're from Boston. And you guys can figure out amongst yourselves who has final say on this pick.
Just like real life.
Yep.
They don't know either.
And behind the glass is the head coach, Brian Callahan. Miss Amy is in Houston, so she's not going to be able to give any input on this. So I'm going to put you guys on the clock, give you the draft scenario, and you're going to have to make a pick or a trade, as there will be some offers that come in throughout this segment here. But Thursday night's too easy.
Yeah.
We already know what's happening.
Yeah.
Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick. So let's jump forward one more night. It is now Friday night, and the Titans are getting ready to pick at number 35. Here is what has already happened in this draft simulation. Shedeur Sanders went number two to the Browns. Cleveland did go quarterback. The Giants took Travis Hunter at three. They also, just in front of you, took Emeka Egbuka at number 34. So he went off the board one pick before the Titans came on the clock. Jackson Dart was picked 21 to Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
So,
is Luther Burden on the board?
I'm about to tell you.
Oh.
Here are your notable players available. Quarterbacks, Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe. Running back, Travion Henderson.
We're good.
Tight end, Elijah Arroyo, Cam Ward's teammate.
Oh.
Wide receiver, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State. Wide receiver, Luther Burden out of Missouri is on the board. Cornerback Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky.
Oh, we're taking him immediately.
And edge rushers, Jordan Birch from Oregon, JT Tuiomalau from Ohio State, and Landon Jackson from Arkansas.
Oh, man.
So you've got some options there.
Some good talent there, Chad.
Again, I would say those were the ones that stood out to me, but if you have a question on another player, I can let you know if they've been picked or not already.
Okay.
But Luther Burden, Jaden Higgins, Travion Henderson, Elijah Arroyo, Landon Jackson, all on the board.
All right, I'll tell you.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Your time starts right now.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think.
Okay.
I think we either go wide receiver. We got to get Cam Ward a guy to develop with him. All Luther right. Burden has fallen right in our laps.
Hmm.
Or we go Hairston at quarterback or corner because of the whole Legarius Sneed business. We don't know if he's ever going to see the field again for us this year.
That's true.
That's a good point.
He's in a lot of trouble.
I don't know.
We can hear our offers.
I like offers. You know me and the offers.
Oh. We got a phone call.
Oh.
Seems like somebody is calling in.
Oh.
Let's go to the phone line and see what the first trade offer is.
Hey, Mike, it's Mickey Loomis with the Saints. We're looking to move up here early in the second with some of these players still on the board. We're willing to trade you 40 in the second round along with the 71st pick in the third. But along with pick 35, we need 103 in the fourth. Let me know if that's something you're interested in. Thanks.
So there's your offer from the New Orleans Saints. They did not take a quarterback in the first round. They actually took Jalen Walker, the edge from Georgia. So they want to move up and see if they can get Tyler Shuck or Jalen Milroe. They're offering 40 and 71, a second and a third, for 35, but you also have to give up the top pick in the fourth round at 103.
You do need a third-round pick.
Yeah, we do need a third-round pick. But do you really want to risk losing Landon Jackson, who we like, Luther Burden, who we like, Hairston, who I like? I don't know about you guys.
So we're moving back five spots. What are those five teams in between the 40 to 35? I'm putting our...
So the teams that would pick between you or between the Saints and you, Saints, Jaguars, Raiders, Patriots, Bears, then it would be the Titans.
What are those teams' top needs? Do you know?
Let me see. Did any of them pick like a wide receiver?
Bears aren't taking one.
No. Raiders took Genty. Jaguars took Abdul Carter. Patriots took Mason Graham.
And Shedeur Sanders is still on the board?
No, he went number two.
He went number two overall.
Oh,
and the Bears took Tyler Warren, the tight end.
What?
I didn't make this up. I used a draft simulator to get us here.
I'm just thinking, wow, okay. Oh,
so
yikes.
That's just your first offer. There will be others.
All right.
Is that enough to get you off of a Luther Burden?
Uh-uh. Not for me.
Or Landon Jackson.
I'm just thinking, I'm entertaining the idea in my brain. There's a way, I think, if you play your cards right, that you could trade back with that 40. Oh, even more.
Speaking of trading back,
I believe we're getting another trade offer coming in.
I love it.
This one might be coming from the Big D, I believe.
The Big D.
Mac, this is Jerry Jones. Oh, we want to get up to you all at 35 for one of these here quarterbacks. Now, we're in 44. We'll give you that pick and our third-round pick at number 76. We need to get 35 and your fifth round pick at 141. Now call me back if you want to make a deal.
No, thank you, Jerry. We're good.
Connor says no immediately to Jerry.
No, thank you, Jerry.
So there is the offer from,
go back to land, man.
From Jerry Jones.
Go back to land, man.
He's offering 44, so you'd move back 9 spots.
Right.
Adding in 76 in the third round, you'd have to give up 35 and your fifth round pick at 141.
I mean,
I'm good, Jer.
You don't want to move back that far?
No, I'm good.
Moving back 9 spots definitely says Luther Burden's out of the window. I'm trying to figure out a nice trade option where you can get Luther Burden and also get some nice capital in return.
I think the Saints have a higher likelihood of getting Luther than what the Big D wants us to do.
Well, they need a quarterback.
They do?
Well, they need a quarterback. Derek Carr is throwing hospital balls, and I think he's probably still on the IR going.
Oh, I thought
forward.
You were about Dallas.
No, no, no.
Yeah, they do need a quarterback.
I mean, Dak's throwing hospital balls, too, so, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, Dak's more in the hospital than throwing hospital balls. But I'm shutting down the Jerry idea for me.
Yeah, I think it's too far down to get Luther Burden, because I think Luther Burden's the number one asset, in my opinion, to be at this point.
Yeah, I think
draft.
That's who we should take, too, but I'm trying to figure out if there's a way.
Think about it. You have the Saints are going to offer you 40 and 71. You get rid of 35, and what, you get rid of 103 as well?
Yes, 103. So you're basically moving back 5 spots in the second, but you're moving up 32 spots from the top of the fourth into the middle of the third.
Listen, I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to take the risk with the Saints and that draft right there, 40 and 71.
Chad Brinker wants the draft capital.
Because here's the deal. You get that edging third rounder, 71st overall pick edging. There. Edging, as in not the position, but, you know, fringing that line. I'm just saying in general.
You made it worse.
Whatever. Anyways, I think that's the right way to do it because you're getting up higher into the draft. You're getting probably a solid player. This is what we need. This is the rebuilding process of the Tennessee Titans.
I want to hear our last offer.
There's another offer?
Yeah, there's 3.
Here's the last offer.
It's like going on vacation. All right.
Hey, Mike and Chad. Omar Khan here with Pittsburgh. Now, we don't have a pick in the second round, but we're still looking to make a move up to 35. Since we added DK Metcalf this offseason, we're willing to move off of George Pickens in this deal. Now, we'd give you Pickens, 83 in the third round and 123 in the fourth round, if you could give us 35. Let me know. Thanks.
Oh, all right.
I think I like that.
So a very interesting deal there.
You tell me, Brian. You want to deal with that attitude on a day-in basis?
Can you please recite that trade?
So the trade offer, the Titans receive wide receiver George Pickens, the 83rd pick, which is in the third round, and the 123rd pick in the fourth round for the 35th pick in the second.
Wow.
I like that.
I think it's a great trade, great offer, but here's my issue. And this is where it comes into play. I don't know what the real Chad Brinker's thinking, but for me, Nick Frazier, Chad Brinker, I don't like a George Pickens. I think he is the replacement for Calvin Ridley. He is a wide receiver one. He's not a slot guy. The Titans, and if Cam Ward, from what his Fortnite videos say, that he's Treylon Burks is a number 4 overall wide receiver in the league, he can turn him into being one of the best in the league. You have 2 guys on your outside there. And then you kind of need to fill in your slots. And I don't think Pickens – and don't get me wrong, maybe Pickens can do it, but I see him more as a perennial outside guy.
Let's ask Brian. Brian, how do you feel about a guy with that kind of attitude on your squad?
I guess when you think about the idea of rebuilding, you want to get guys in here that can't cause issues.
Yeah.
And – George Pickens is not that guy. I mean, he's great on the field, but off the field in the locker room, not so great.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got, what, 2 years left on his rookie deal, right? Or
he's
1 year?
And he's, what, 27?
You'd have to give him an extension pretty soon here.
Younger than 27. He's 24.
No. Oh, he's 24? Yeah. Oh, wow. I thought he was older than that.
Because he wasn't a first round pick.
No, he was a second or third round pick where so you saw him up at the TV going.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he did.
Yeah, it is. I don't know about you, Frazier Brinker, but the offer I'm entertaining of the three is the Saints.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm feeling.
Because hear me out. You're getting all that capital, plus if you end up lucking out and possibly Luther Burden slips 5 more spots – I'm just saying, you're on a rookie guy there, and you're getting a fresh deal instead of having to deal with the baggage of
if we lose Burden, we still got an opportunity to fill some other holes.
Oh yeah, there's Higgins out there from Iowa State. He's a solid wide receiver.
I mean, even beyond wide receiver, we got a corner we can go get to replace L'Jarius Sneed. We got Landon Jackson, someone who can go hit the quarterback.
Listen, Rome wasn't built in an offseason. No. All right, Rome was not built in a day. So I mean, this is essentially Rome. We're building it one by one.
Question for both Brinker and Borgonzi.
Sir.
What are your thoughts on Luther Burden's alleged off the field issues?
I don't see that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Listen, this is football, all right? We're worried about football. Anything off the field, our PR staff can handle that.
Yeah,
when we hire them.
Chad Brinker's clearly not worried.
Listen,
if L'Jarius Sneed.
The analytics say so.
Listen, if people like to sleep on planes, if people like to go meander out and do whatever they want outside the field, that's fine. I'm here for football. This is football. X's and O's, in between the hashes, we're running and scoring and passing touchdowns. This is football, okay? Period. Callie, do you want to lose your job? I don't think so, all right? Listen,
you probably will anyway.
This is football.
But listen to us.
This is football, all right?
What he said.
It's football.
So not that he has final say, but what he said.
Oh, I got final say.
I got final
that's
say.
Coming pal, from that's a football reason. Guy, that's perfect.
Just saying. Through the hashes, this is football.
All right, we need a decision. Are you taking the trade from the Saints, or are you going to stick and pay?
I'm in with the Saints.
I'm all in.
With the Saints?
I'm in with the
Saints.
All right,
let's make that trade.
All right.
I'm all in.
Perfect.
They have made the trade. So, here is what happened in those five picks.
Oh, damn it.
Worry about football.
The Saints did take a quarterback. It wasn't the one that I thought they were going to take.
Told you.
Milrow.
They took Quinn Ewers.
Love it.
35.
Love it.
The Jacksonville Jaguars took Luther Burden III.
That's okay. There's plenty of other options out there.
Then a run on cornerbacks. Raiders go Trey Amos.
Okay.
Patriots Siobhan Revelle Jr. and Azariah Thomas goes to the Bears.
So Hairston is still out
so
there.
So here still is there. Still, who's still on the board? Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, Elijah Arroyo, the tight end from Miami, and all of those edge rushers, including Landon Jackson. We won't do trades here, but who do you think the Titans should go with if they're in this spot? You've already picked up another third.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually sim down to the third, too, and see what they do there.
Okay. I think we go defense here.
Sure.
I think we go either Hairston or Landon Jackson.
Oh.
If we're going defense, I'm in on Landon Jackson.
Landon Jackson,
you need
edge
someone
rusher,
to hit
Arkansas.
The quarterback. You need someone to hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you feel we have that with Simmons and Sweat? I don't.
And you now have the 73?
Mm-hmm.
71. You have the 71st pick to go get a wide receiver now.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go defense
Jackson.
Here.
Landon Jackson.
Yep.
All right.
Take him.
With the 40th pick in the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Landon Jackson, pass rusher from Arkansas.
Love it.
So let's see quickly here before we wrap this up. Sim on down to 71. See, this is better than last year because I have the ability to do this now.
Love it.
I started this simulation on Thursday, and I was worried it would time out, but it actually stayed. All right, here we are. On the clock at 71. Oh, man, you guys made the right choice. Guess who is still on the board with the 71st pick in the draft?
Maxwell Hairston.
Jaden Higgins, wide receiver, Iowa State.
Take him, baby.
Elijah Arroyo, also still on the board. Cam Scataboo. Xavier Watts, the safety from Notre Dame. Dylan Sampson, running back, Tennessee.
He didn't go number one?
He did not go number one. JT Tuiomalau, but you just want edge rusher.
Right.
Cameron Williams, offensive tackle from Texas. Jalen Lane, wide receiver, Virginia Tech.
He's a day three pick, but is Restrepo still on the board?
Let's see.
Wide receiver. I like where your head's at.
Xavier Restrepo is still on the board.
He can get him later.
We'll get him later.
Kyle Williams from Washington State also still on the board.
I think you said from Washington State.
Kyle Williams. Wide receivers, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Lane, Kyle Williams, Xavier Restrepo. That's kind of the...
What about that Christian Arroyo kid, right?
Elijah Arroyo. The tight end, yes, he's still there too.
Yeah. I don't know what Chig's got left in the tank. I know he's a young guy, young fella. I like Arroyo. I like having the 1-2 punch, the familiarity from Miami. I think you just reunite the whole group.
Yeah, I mean, Jake and I were talking about outside of this fake reality. We were talking to TD the other day, and he was like, yeah, you've got to bring someone in with familiarity.
You got to have it.
Cam Moore, whether that's you draft a guy, you re-sign Quandre Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it. So I think I'm with you. I think, man, if we can get the tight end and we can get Restrepo later, I think we're in a good spot.
I'm going to say something fast, and it's but dating back to the draft when the Titans drafted Chigakonkwo.
We didn't draft
him. We didn't draft him. I'm saying as a franchise. They passed up on Isaiah Likely, a kid that was phenomenal out of Coastal Carolina. We cannot pass up on another good opportunity to get a really good asset to this franchise. Arroyo, love the two-tone
blue kid. Banging the table for Elijah Arroyo.
We're playing between the hashes.
With Jaden Higgins still on the board.
Scoring touchdowns and enjoying football.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Why are you looking at me through all this?
Because it's on you, buddy. You're the coach.
It's your ass on the line, not mine.
Yes.
We're going tight end Elijah Arroyo.
Putting in the slip.
All right, reuniting him with Cam Ward.
I guess that.
There you go.
That says he's got final say because I didn't even give an opinion on it.
Listen, if things don't go well in the first 4 weeks, yeah, it's your head, buddy. You better watch out. Jaden Higgins
went two picks later to the Jets.
His career's over before it started, so we're good.
We're good.
All right, so there it is, our second annual draft simulation. Good job, gentlemen. I thought that went well. So here is the recap of what the Titans got. Cam Ward, number one overall. We just move past that because that's a foregone conclusion. At 35, the Titans traded back with the Saints, so New Orleans could move up to take Quinn Ewers with the 35th pick. The Titans got back the 40th and the 71st pick in the draft. Also had to give up their fourth round pick at 102. The Titans took Landon Jackson, the edge rusher out of Arkansas. This says that there is a 91% chance he would be available at that pick, according to ESPN.
Oh.
Elijah Arroyo with the 71st pick in the third round, 34% chance that he was available at that pick. So,
Wow, we got a steal.
Pretty good. Yeah. Jaden Higgins, I think, would have been my pick, but football. You get a pass catcher one way or the other. And
we took Restrepo later, so
right.
It's okay.
Yeah, I couldn't go much further. So
this is football.
Football.
This is
capital F football.
Yes.
Between the hashes, baby.
6-1.
Goal line to goal line.
We're going to run it 3 out of 4 downs.
Watch out, defenses.
The two best running backs in the league, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears.
Yeah.
And you know what? We got two of the best 4 wide receivers in the league, too.
Calvin Ridley, Traylon Burks.
Watch out.
And the best head coach in the league.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have any thoughts on the draft simulation, again, the Titans come out of day 2 with Cam Ward, Landon Jackson, and Elijah Arroyo, according to our own Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and Brian Callahan. We'll take a break. We'll react more to the draft simulation coming up next here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You can win an exclusive Keith Urban experience. Text in the keyword Keith to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban, plus also a chance to win $1,000 cash. Force Company here on this Saturday morning. 1 year anniversary of the show starting, and also just did our second annual NFL Titans draft simulation. Thought it went well. You guys did a good job.
Thank you. I think we did well, too.
Heading into Saturday, and again, we'll be on the air again next Saturday to recap what the Titans actually do on Thursday and Friday. And I feel like if you guys come on the air on Saturday and you've got Cam Ward, Landon Jackson, and Elijah Arroyo, that's a pretty good way to start the draft.
Checking off a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
This is football. Football.
You're right.
In between the hashes.
In between the hashes. Goal line to goal line.
I expect you to come in with a cowboy
slinging
hat
the
on
rock.
Saturday.
Pounding the rock up the middle through defenses. You better watch out. Brian Callahan, he's out to get you.
You're in full WrestleMania mode right now, aren't you?
I love it. Just giving my best WrestleMania promo.
Yeah,
speaking of which, Connor Newth was able to sit down with Brad Gilmore earlier this week and talk some WrestleMania.
A lot of fun.
That's coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Also, don't forget our question of the day. What is your biggest sports pet peeve? Be sure to tune in today on 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores take on Georgia. Looking for a sweep at Hawkins Field. Pregame begins at 1:45. First pitch is at 2. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Newt's Notes with special guest Brad Gilmore coming up next. You're on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. With that, I think kind of relates to what Mr. Newt's going to be talking about as we give him his own segment. Behind the glass, Connor Newt, it's time for Newt's Notes.
Sponsored by Music City Bets, apparently. They are my biggest fan.
It's been 1 year of Newt's Notes. Can you believe it? I can't. On Newt's Notes, we always make some noise.
Let me preview some noises for you. You got the people that go...
We get you excited for what's to come.
We are 49 days away from the greatest day of our lives. The day where we all call out sick.
And we always bring the boom.
Boom!
There you go. There we go.
Puddles the duck.
Well, I may have fallen down.
I may
down.
Have lost
it
my
It was
balance.
An accident.
Thank you for having Newt's Notes for 1 year. And always remember, at 9:45 on a Saturday, there's only one person you'd listen to. And his name is... L.A.
Welcome back in. Four's Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville Sports Network. It's Newt's Notes time, which means I have the floor. And of course, it is WrestleMania weekend. And you know I'm a wrestling guy. So with that, I had to bring in reinforcements to talk wrestling. With us now is Brad Gilmore, host of the Hall of Fame. You may hear him before we come on the air. Brad, it is an honor to have you on the show and an honor to talk some WrestleMania with you.
Hey, thanks, brother. It's the most wonderful time of the year. No, I'm not talking about Kris Kringle. I'm talking about WrestleMania 41, man. This is what I look forward to. This is my yearly annual event that just, man, I haven't missed a WrestleMania now going to them live since WrestleMania 38. And now it's just kind of become my annual tradition.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that. You've been watching WrestleMania for years. What moment of the past 40 WrestleManias comes to mind when I say the word WrestleMania? What is that one moment that defines WrestleMania for you?
So, man, I love all my people in Nashville, but, you know, I'm a Houston guy born and bred, and that WrestleMania 17 in the Astrodome is what comes to mind. And seeing The Rock at the peak of his powers take on Stone Cold Steve Austin at the peak of his powers for the WWF Championship back in 01, man. It's still one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. And I think of that match, and then I think of WrestleMania 25 in Houston, Texas, again, man, with maybe the greatest WrestleMania match of all time with the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, their first of those two matches that they did with each other back-to-back. Those are the first two that pop in my head.
Yeah, I'm a young guy, so both of those were a bit before my time, but I've gone back and watched the Stone Cold Rock main event, and I can without a doubt say that is probably my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. It's unbelievable.
You know, it just shows you that WrestleMania, it's really not about matches, though. It is about the moments. And just Austin and Rock face-to-face. I can't tell you one spot that they did in the match, but I just remember how it made me feel. And The Rock came back, WrestleMania 18, him and Hogan, right? I mean, him and Hogan, that was one of the great WrestleMania matches of all time. I don't remember one spot, but I remember the crowd. I remember how it felt with them staring at each other in the ring and then staring off to the crowd and then back at each other. Just the magic of WrestleMania is incredible. And last year, Philadelphia, WrestleMania 40, one of the best endings to any WrestleMania in history. And to be there live and feel the energy of the people when The Rock comes out and Cena comes out and then The Undertaker's there and Cody finally finishes the story. This is what we live for, man. This is what the granddaddy of them all is about. This is what the stage is of WrestleMania 41.
Yeah, it's like Christmas for us wrestling fans. So we've kind of taken a look at the past of the WrestleMania, you know, great matches. Last year was one of my favorites of all time, but I want to talk about this year. This year has the makings to be a big one as well. You got a massive main event on night one, a triple threat, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins versus the tribal chief Roman Reigns. Lots of storylines there. Give me a sense of what you're taking away from that match. What are you looking for? Any plot twists? Could we see Paul Heyman maybe side with CM Punk? Maybe go over, do the unexpected and side with Seth Rollins? What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, Paul Heyman is the big question mark, right? I mean, because really, this is an interesting WrestleMania main event. Because when you think about it, there's nothing on the line. There's no championship. There's no title. There's pride, I guess, on the line. There's personal animus, which, you know, a great WrestleMania match can have, but there's not really a thing, a prize on the line, other than bragging rights. So Paul Heyman's the one that adds a wrinkle to it all for me. We know that CM Punk's cashing in his favor, and Paul Heyman's going to be accompanying him to the ring. But will there be a moment in the match where Paul Heyman has to choose between his best friend CM Punk and his tribal chief, the man who's helped him conquer the island of relevance? Roman Reigns, I think that there is. That's going to play into the finish of this match. Now, you bring up an interesting point with Seth Rollins. I think that he's kind of the guy, for some reason in the last 3 years of WWE, he's always been involved in something important and something special, but we always feel like, I don't know, he just never fully gets his just due. And he's had several great WrestleMania matches. But WrestleMania moments, really, you think of WrestleMania 31, where he cashed in a triple threat with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and won the WWE Championship. I think he's going to be the wild card here. I feel like we might see a Seth Rollins victory.
Yeah, I'm with you. Follow-up question to that. Do you think this is the last we see throughout the weekend of these three superstars? Do you think they could maybe show up in the main event, Cody and Cena?
You know, I think that Cody Rhodes and John Cena is such a massive match for so many different reasons that I think they're going to allow that to be straight up. I don't think we see any shenanigans unless the people's champ, the final boss,
yes,
comes down the aisle, which I could see happening. It is WrestleMania 41. The Rock really is the guy, the impetus of this whole John Cena heel turn. So I could see him involved, but do I see Punk, Rollins, Reigns, or Heyman involved? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, let's pivot over to that main event. Cody Rhodes, John Cena, maybe one of the biggest matches of all time from a WrestleMania main event standpoint. John Cena is obviously a heel now, which I don't know about you. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant move for his retirement tour. What do you make of this one? Does Cena win number 17? Does he pass the torch off to Cody to be the next big babyface champion? What do you make of this one, Brad?
You know, it's such a difficult question to answer because most WrestleMania main events, you feel like you know which way they're leaning. I think the biggest exception in recent memory is WrestleMania 39, where it felt like all signs pointed to Cody, and then Roman ends up, you know, retaining, and then it sets up the rematch, obviously, at WrestleMania 40. But to me, it's hard for John Cena in a heel turn to not go out there and win number 17. And I hear people say, well, hey, winning that 17th title is a babyface moment. And I go, well, is it really, though? Because the fans love Ric Flair. Ric Flair's had this record forever. People seem to forget there was a whole SummerSlam storyline involving Jon Stewart's fandom of Ric Flair that prevented John Cena from tying the 16th world title record. There's a deep cut for people. So I feel like it's not really a babyface thing for him to break the record. It feels almost more heelish. And then if you turn him and his mission is to win the 17th title, he is guaranteed it. He says it's going to happen. For you to turn him heel, go into WrestleMania, main event, and it not happen, it does feel like it was all for nothing. And then, to me, Cody defeating Cena and retaining the championship, well, now he's beat the guy who was the guy for 20 years on the biggest stage for the biggest prize. Where does John go from there? Where does Cody go from there? There's more juice, in my opinion, in a chase. If John Cena wins by some dastardly means, sets up, you know, he wins his 17th world title, and then it sets up the Cody Rhodes versus John Cena SummerSlam rematch where maybe, you know, he loses the title and now John Cena's reformed. Cody helped him see the error of the ways and he can finish off as one of the biggest baby faces in the history of the company when he rounds up his tour in December. That's the way that I would do it. But guess what? Neither you or I are employed by WWE.
Unfortunately.
That's a Paul Levesque question. That's a Triple H question. What do you want to do? Because if the answer is John Cena wins, what's the next, you know, 6 months of programs? If it's Cody Rhodes wins, what's the next 6 months of programs? What is the idea for WrestleMania 42? Where are we going, you know, in the Royal Rumble? How does John Cena want to finish this thing? And it seems like John's all about business. So whatever they want to do, I think he'll go for. But to me, to make this heel turn seem solidified, he wins the title at Mania.
Yeah, certainly. We've focused on probably the two most marquee matchups of the entire weekend, but there's another one that I think is going under the radar that is unfortunately not happening. Kevin Owens, of course, announced his injury. He will not be fighting Randy Orton in night one of WrestleMania, but I believe Randy Orton is going to get his WrestleMania match. My question to you, Brad, is who do you think that would be against?
It's such a great question, and it's something I've actually thought a lot about because there's a few people who you could potentially see, right? There seems to be a kind of built-in storyline with Nick Aldis, but that would also seem really strange because Nick's never had a match in WWE, and all of a sudden he's going to be in a WrestleMania match with one of the biggest stars in the company. So I see that there's a built-in story there. Don't think that one's likely. The next likeliest seems to be Solo Sikoa. Mm-hmm. He and Randy, I don't believe, have ever had a singles match straight up with each other on pay-per-view, and this could be that one. Solo Sikoa, huge part of his last year in WWE, whether people started to get tired of him or not, him running the new bloodline, helping bring in Jacob Fatu, you know, and Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga. He was the new tribal chief. It would seem to be a fitting thing for him to have a WrestleMania match. And then the dark horse candidate a lot of people are talking about is a returning Aleister Black, which would be my favorite of the three potential options. Rusev is another one I've seen people throw out, but I think that we're probably going to get Solo Sikoa, and I think we're going to see a vintage Randy Orton performance like only he can do.
Yeah. We're talking to Brad Gilmore, host of the Hall of Fame with Booker T. Brad, last one for you. Compared to WrestleManias of the past, what is your excitement level for this weekend?
Well, look, WrestleMania is in Las Vegas, Nevada, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's Sin City. It's the glitz. It's the glamour. It's the lights. It's everything that pro wrestling is about is what Las Vegas is about. The showmanship, the aura, the feeling and the vibe for the people. You know, bets are going to be made. Roulette wheels are going to be spun. Cards are going to be dealt, and losses are going to be handed to a variety of different superstars on Sunday. So I'm excited for this WrestleMania like I'm excited for every single WrestleMania. I'm just glad it's not in Philadelphia this year. No offense to the fine people of Philadelphia, but that city is cold as hell in April, and I want to be able to be a little bit warm. So I'm going to be toasty, sitting poolside in Las Vegas, Nevada, and enjoying WrestleMania from Allegiant Stadium.
He is Brad Gilmore, host of the Hall of Fame, which you can hear right before us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9. Brad, thank you so much for this. Hope you have a great, great WrestleMania weekend, and hope we can do this again sometime.
Hey, man, I'm available anytime. As the great Booker T says, I'm always available when I'm available.
All right.
Great stuff there. Connor Newt, a great first year anniversary of Newt's Notes with Brad Gilmore.
He was really fun to talk to. Really nice guy, too. So I feel like the thing with Brad is he does the show with Booker T, but he doesn't get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah. And
I just really wanted to spotlight him. He knows his stuff. Like, I was just immersed in what he was telling me, and he's agreeing with some of my takes, which was pretty awesome.
I love it. Great first anniversary edition of Newt's Notes with Brad Gilmore. And again, you can always listen to Brad right before we come on the air, 8 to 9, with Booker T on the Hall of Fame. Coming up in hour number two here on Forrest Company, we'll get to our question of the day, which once again is, what is your biggest sports pet peeve? You can text or call 615-737-1025. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And then we will get back into the NFL draft in the second hour of the show. That's coming up next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.